Talk and No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And the elite are back. Ish.
Sort of.
Are they not? Ish?
They are in the building.
The elite have entered the building. We actually do have to do a little business before we get to that, but I felt like people like would want to hear it right away. I felt like we kind of had to open with it.
Well,
because
we're breaking the news.
Live. Yeah,
people are not going to know until we tell them. We're breaking this.
Yeah, we're the dirt sheet now.
The breaking news podcast that everyone looks to. Yeah,
I wish we did have a. Should we get a soundboard and have a little like breaking news thing that we? I think that's like a. Actually, a pivotal moment in any podcast's life is when someone is finally like, should we get a soundboard?
Producer Marjorie, just edit that in this week, if you would.
Yeah. So, yeah. Breaking news.
I like the idea of us getting a soundboard and Marjorie just editing in like a slide whistle and like...
don't really need a soundboard to like after
not
the fact
anymore,
edit
no.
things in but
yeah. I've had some podcasts where they got like a fun novelty soundboard like for children that they use a lot and it seemed to give them a lot of joy and I need more joy than I have so True. I thought that could be an opportunity like it's a perfect fit. Do you guys like what I did with the episode epigraph? That doesn't come at the it comes at the end, doesn't it? What comes at the beginning?
Epigraph
comes at the beginning. Right?
Yeah, it's written on, I think.
Do you think that maybe I should do that every week? We don't have to read
ask
it,
for
but...
what epigraphs are?
Yeah, ask on the podcast, preferably.
Maybe we could just, pick a new word and, like, we just define it.
Remember, 2 years ago when I was like, I'm going to learn a new wrestling move every week?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever even do it once?
Yeah, I did it once. I learned.
What did you learn?
I think I learned about a German suplex.
Oh, I recently learned what a German suplex was too. Yeah,
this is the content the people crave. Mm-hmm. It's like watching elementary school kids learn how to add numbers.
I like when you Google it and it like there is like a line drawing like from an elementary school book and you like to try to interpret what the line drawing means and it's not very clear usually.
Well, when I was looking for definitions, I was finding a lot of like they thought that I was a 15-year-old boy who wanted to do high school wrestling that you like wear a helmet for and stuff. And I kept being like, no, that's not me. I'm a 33-year-old woman and I'm watching people do play acting for my sexual entertainment. Producer Marjorie, please cut that.
That on like your online dating profile.
I was playing around with it the other day, and I was like, I want to say that I need to talk about pro wrestling a lot, but I don't want to say that. I want to magically find someone who is willing to listen to me talk about this a lot, but I don't want to find anyone who will respond to me saying that's what I want.
So you want like a secret, like a shibboleth kind of thing. Like you should put something in there like just say you're very nice and very evil and then some people will get it.
Yeah. But some people will think something else. Yeah, that's so true. Okay, well, maybe I'll do that. Right at the front, we're like 6 minutes in. I just wanted to say we did do a very special edition of our podcast. It came out this Tuesday, I believe. This is with Trish Spears, whom we love, crush of the pod. God. We had a great conversation with her. You guys didn't even get to hear all of it because we kept her on the line pretty late for her. So it was very nice of her to stick around and talk to us about all of our complaints and our questions. But I think it's a great episode. I highly recommend listening to it. If you're here because you listened to that episode, we say things like that about Punk and FTR a lot. So I just want to set a baseline. Like,
and we are a lot dumber than
we're
Trish
so much
is.
Stupider. Yeah, we're so
Don't
much stupider.
Any numbers to come out of our mouths?
No, definitely couldn't name one if I tried right now. you guys know numbers, not us. Okay, but highly recommend checking it out. She's so smart. She's so fun. We had a blast with her. She's our best friend forever now. And we also are just going to re-up that we will sell ourselves for reviews on podcast iTunes. iTunes podcast, apple.com. If you leave us a 5-star review, just let us know what you want us to do. So we'll watch a video that you want us to watch, or we'll respond to a match that you want us to respond to, or I believe Anne has said, and now I capitulate, we'll play a game that you come up with.
So you were mad about that.
I was mad about that. I didn't want to play him, but now, sure, yeah, we'll play any game. We'll play any game you want us to play, even if it's Monopoly. So 5-star reviews, apple.itunes.podcast.com, I believe, is the address.
It would be funny to make us play Monopoly because it's like one of the, it like takes forever and it would not be interesting to listen to, but Monopoly always ends with someone getting furious at someone else. So there, you've got that going for you.
That is so dangerous for me. But yeah, but you know, when you trap people around a table, that's a bottle episode. Like stuff could come out. You don't know what you're going to find out about us and our interest in wrestling there. So let's talk about the Elite. That's what we're really interested in. Is it not, girls?
Pretty much the only thing, I think. Yeah.
I would say it's like pretty high on our list.
It's really high on our list. So the Elite are kind of back, as we said. The reportage is that Kenny and the Bucks were backstage at Dynamite this week. And
the reportage was also everyone was really happy to see them, which I love to hear.
I would love to hear more of that. I hope that's what all the big scoops coming out tomorrow are, is just like, and everyone had such a nice time seeing their friends, and they all hugged, and they said, I miss you so much. Did you have a nice vacation?
Like, I'm so glad we're back to all friends wrestling.
That's right. That's the new, at the end of all this. So they did. We got a little promo where the Elite were deleted from pivotal moments in AEW history. But what and the E was deleted at the end. So it's just all wrestling, which is pathetic. That would be Tony. I hope when you saw it, you thought, "Wow, that is pathetic." I'm glad that's not what's happening. But what if at the end it all comes back except for that bottom line on the E? And it is AFW, All Friends Wrestling.
That'd be so beautiful.
That idea is free, as always.
Tony, we are sending to them every week. We're constantly giving you these amazing ideas, and you never take a single one of them.
He says, please stop. We have a pollution problem on this planet.
I think men would really take you more seriously if you were All Friends Wrestling. So,
something to think about. Men are good at having friendships. Yeah,
Cornette would definitely stop making fun of you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He'd be like, "Whoa, I got to take this seriously." And you know, we all want him to take us seriously.
That's all we're desperate for. Yeah.
But yeah, so the Elite got Thanos snapped, and then we didn't see anything else from them for the rest of the night. I will say, for me, that was emotionally quite difficult, actually.
I know. And it's like, in the living room with Sarah, she was like, but aren't you happy that, like, they are coming back? And it's like when you go to the, like, urgent care and you're like, I have a UTI, and they give you the pill, and you're like, I'm going to feel better soon, but you fucking still have a UTI. Okay.
I'm following. You do still have the UTI. Are you drinking cranberry juice in this scenario?
Yeah, the private party is the cranberry juice.
And who's the bacteria, would you say?
FTR.
So FTR live in your...
In my urethra. I tried to flush it out with private party, but in the end, I need the Elite. Get it out.
FTR is now an it. That's where we're at on this podcast.
I think that like anybody who stuck around after the Trish episode is going to be like, that's right. This is what I came for.
Right. I could have seen it. Should have seen it coming. Coulda, woulda, should have seen it coming. That Taylor Swift
on
MP3.
What I was expecting.
No. Go ahead.
Something else I think is really funny about that video is that it's like, it's all the video of them starting, like announcing the beginning of AEW and like they're getting disappeared. Mm-hmm. But it's a little ironic because the camera, the way they cropped it is they crop out Cody, who actually did just get disappeared.
I was thinking about that. I was like, yeah, it's funny how Cody's in most of these moments. Yeah.
Actually did get snapped.
Cody disappeared himself. He apparated out of there. It's two different franchises. And that was the problem of the Codyverse in the first place. Kapow, brain exploding. So smart. This girl, she is. So smart, this girl, she is. Okay, so Leah has FTR living in her urethra like bacteria. That is so chill. The Elite are disappearing. So do you guys have any thoughts about, like, I will say, I think it's, look, we love our Elite. We want to see them so badly. We're going to puke. I think they're doing a storyline. They're doing some kind of storyline thing. And I love that for them because I love when they get to flex their creativity. That's what brings them joy. That's what makes them happy. And they might, I don't want them to slow burn me because I want to see their bodies.
I need to see their bodies.
Yeah. We don't know what's happened to their bodies in the month since we've seen them.
And
Kenny can just display his arm and see if the bite mark is still there.
Oh yeah, I was really thinking more about like the size of like various muscles on their bodies.
I mean, I'd love to see his. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Boob. I want to see boob.
Yeah, I want to see tits. Sure.
I want to see tits. Yeah. Okay. So we're off to a really good start.
It's very, like, I was very disappointed that they did not show up at the end, especially when the last match ended with, like, a million minutes left. I do think, like, when I zoom out away from my intense psychic pain, that it's, like, not a bad way to do it.
Get away from your psychic pain.
That's how good I'm doing.
Anne's like, I could stop at any time. I actually choose to live here. Don't worry about it.
Can we have one of our classic lunch and learns about this tomorrow where you teach me how to zoom out from my psychic pain?
Yeah, I'll start putting some notes together for you. Sure.
Perfect. I want to see a full deck. But no, go
but
on.
When I zoom out, I think like, oh, it's probably good to slow burn it a little bit, like, because other people like probably haven't been pining after the Elite quite as intensely as we have. Yeah. And so it's like start teasing that they're coming back, start like building some excitement. And it does look like cool, like whatever they're doing, I'm psyched for it. Like, I hope it's some kind of magical realism or whatever. So even though I was disappointed, I don't think it's bad, but also I feel bad, and I want to see their body.
I just thought, I wish we could remember how they handled it on Supernatural when people came back from hell.
Did they handle it?
I don't know for sure, no.
Dean just appeared in a gas station, didn't he?
Yeah, that's ringing a bell. I feel like we might have watched this together.
How did they bring people back from the Thanos thing? I didn't watch that.
I didn't watch any of those. I haven't seen an Avengers movie.
Because I'm not good.
Yeah, but I haven't seen one in so long that actually, like, but it's an accident. So when I realized it recently, I was really impressed with myself. Like, because I was like, I wasn't boycotting them. I just forgot to see them.
For that like is 10 more powerful, years. Actually. Much and more powerful.
The whole time I've been thinking to myself, I have seen a lot of Avengers movies.
Yeah, I mean, we all have. We're Americans. So.
Well, but now it turns out I haven't really. Because I think the last one I saw in theaters was like...
Well, you could have seen like up to 10 and still have seen a real minuscule percentage of them.
There's a lot of them. I watched all of them in the pandemic, like an early pandemic. But I can't answer any questions about them because I retained nothing because my brain wasn't working because of the national emergency.
Please don't ask me any questions. I guess we were. We don't know how they handled them coming back. I assume that the particles that had... dissipated, came right back together.
Someone on my timeline was comparing it to Back to the Future fade out, which I think it was quite different looking from that actually. But if someone's gone back in time and is messing with things so that they were never born, like we could do a storyline like that for sure. I'd love that a time travel so storyline.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my God. They'll never. I love when we come up with storylines that both we know they'll never do, and we know that when wrestling fans of long extent, not what I, the word I was looking for, long time wrestling fans, when they hear it, they'll say, that's so fucking stupid. Like, I can just hear them saying it, and I'm like, to some of us, it would be fun.
I think those longtime wrestling fans need a little more joy in their life. That's what I think.
I think so, because I think, like, the one thing wrestling is missing is just like those one-off episodes of a TV show where you're like, they just had a concept and they did it and we'll never revisit this again. Mm-hmm. But wasn't it just a sexy little interesting interlude that we had together? I'd love to have a sexy, interesting interlude.
I also love this idea because like it would be fairly easy if you decided if you were an evil villain and you wanted to make sure that Matt and Nick were never born, like you would just make sure their parents didn't meet. But like if you also had to make sure Kenny wasn't born and you had like had a limited amount of time, so you had to find the one point in history in which you could disrupt both. That's fun. Yeah.
That is fun. Also, you just made me think maybe they sent Matt back in time and his mom is trying to kiss him. Which I feel like
He did say in his book that his mother has been mistaken for his girlfriend at moments in his life.
Yeah.
Did he not, Leah?
He did say that. He
did. did any of us understand why he said it? No. It was a crazy thing to say.
Talk about psychic pain. The first half of that book was just
It's really the kind of, I think I got like 5 pages into that book and I'd read so many things that made me go, what? Anyway, it's a great book. So I check it out. Check it out. The other thing that was going on is we approached, so we had heard all the Dirt Sheets were like, they're backstage. So we're getting excited. But then at the same time, Nick Hausman of Colt Cabana Improv partner fame had reached out to Punk's Camp, and we got a report from Wrestle Inc. saying from Punk's Camp that the Bucks actually kicked the door open onto Larry the Dog's face at causing at a pre-scheduled vet visit days later, Larry to need for his teeth to be removed, and that Punk was using the castle doctrine to protect the castle of his dressing room
under legally the state of Illinois. It was
from
legal
the Young Bucks. It was legal. And so that was the other thing that was happening as we approached the show, which to me was not enjoyable because I'm so fucking sick of this guy that like it flames at the side of my face.gif. And I can't deal with it anymore. I'm over it. I can't deal with it. Like, it's like they've had a whole investigation. We can't do this anymore. We have to stop. Daniel, we can't keep doing this.
It was the wildest report. It was like the most pathetic flailing around for the weirdest excuses. It's like, oh yeah, Larry's teeth got knocked out by the Young Bucks super kicking him. And you just brought it up now, like when you were leaking stuff the day after. Like, yeah, okay, sure. And the Castle Doctrine thing is just wild. Like,
it's so funny. It's literally the funniest thing.
To be like, yeah, my dressing room in whatever city arena it was. Like, that's where I live, pretty much.
Well,
oh, yeah,
he does
Chicago.
Live in Chicago. Oh, so.
I mean, living in Chicago is the same thing as living at the Now Arena, I think.
When you live anywhere in Chicago, Chicago is your home. I know
Chicago's
that.
Your castle. And then if you feel threatened in Chicago, you can just, you know, you can punch
I
a young buck.
I think that's how people in Chicago act sometimes, actually. yeah, it was crazy. It's just really unpleasant. It's like, this is an unpleasant man. It seems like we're going to get some big stories from all the Dirt Sheets tomorrow. I know I'm saying it like that because, as you know, I'm in love with Dave Meltzer now and kiss him on the mouth all the time.
I genuinely am like, he used his serious parent voice and he was like, yeah, Tony, I am both mad and disappointed. And you know what? It worked. So, yeah, of course I'd kiss Dave on the mouth now.
Yeah, of course
I would.
But he wouldn't want it. That's the great thing about Dave. He would be like, you need to stop. And I would. And I would. I would step back immediately. Okay.
That's called boundaries. That's called appropriate.
I would only do consensual kissing with Dave Meltzer if he and I both wanted it.
Just like Regal.
Just like William Regal. We never put our hands on someone who doesn't want it.
That's right. Consent king. you guys have anything else you want to say about the Elite? Oh, who do you think they're going to... Do you think they're going to fight at Full Gear? And if so, whom?
This is a good time frame to get Full Gear going.
It's true.
What were you saying, Leah?
So they're going to be back in Boston in 2 weeks, and Sarah and I had just basically decided not to go.
They're obsessed with Boston.
We had just decided that we weren't going to go. I think we got
it
now.
This bitch make me crazy. Tell me more, Leah.
No, I mean, I'm just like, it's like very funny that I was like, I'm at my peace. I've seen a lot of AEW. I do not need to see this again. And I'm like, I'm fucking going to have to see it again.
Yeah.
But no, we're gonna wait to day of because we want the hard cam seats.
Oh, is that when they open them up?
They haven't opened them yet because they want people to buy the other ones, but we're not going to do that.
So what if they never open those hard cams?
Well, then I'm going to have some regrets, but Sarah seems to think that they really will.
Sarah seems to think that they really will. Okay, well, I do trust Sarah, and she's been giving me a lot of Meltzer dirt, so she's really on my good side right now. You know what? I hope you guys go because I want the on-the-scene reportage. I hope that the Bucks are there doing something so fucking cool.
Maybe they'll fight for the Trios belts.
I hope you get to kiss them on the mouth if they want it. Just to say, I love you.
Kenny's
the only one that's not married, so
it's true.
That's
true. That we know
Kenny,
of.
Kenny.
That we know of for sure, yeah. Kenny wouldn't tell us if he was. That's a great point.
Kenny could be living anywhere with anyone and no one would have any idea.
I was confused.
With anyone,
I thought he was living in North Carolina, so then that's why I was so confused last week when you're all like, no, he does live in Jacksonville.
Well, I think the North Carolina thing, for some reason, I looked in. I saw this, but it's like a reference to like Michael Jordan being from North Carolina because Kenny's the greatest of all time or whatever. Well, so he doesn't actually live in North Carolina, I guess.
I guess for some reason I thought like it was both, but that was foolish of me. Of course, it's just a Michael Jordan reference. I mean, I should have known that.
I definitely did too, but yeah, I don't know.
Kenny. I hope his boobs are so big.
Yeah, all our best to him and his boobs, for sure, yeah.
I hope Kenny enjoyed his two-month breast enhancement. And he's just popping out of his shirts.
When you said Marjorie, can you, like, can you roll it back? I'm not sure how far back, but pretty far.
I hope all of his body parts have gotten bigger, and same to the Young Bucks. It's possible for Matt, but I don't think it's possible for Nick. I sometimes think that Nick can't get muscles as big as Matt's. Don't you know what I mean?
No.
He's like a jungle cat, though. He doesn't need the muscles.
Well, you're just agreeing with
jump.
Me. I'm not saying that I want him to have them. I'm saying like you must
you don't
admit
think he's capable.
Well, I just I said it in like a weird tone.
You think he just it's a weird tone? I love him with my whole heart. I would die for him. I'll kiss him on the mouth.
Allie's like, yeah, a little weedy and Nick Jackson. He might as well be Adam Cole.
I feel like my. I almost said castmates.
Do you think every single person who is came to us from the Trish pod is already gone?
They love it. Oh, no, I think they love it.
You think they love it?
Yeah. My podcast hosts are turning on me because we've all agreed before that one of the funnest things about Nick Jackson is that he does amazing feats of strength and agility, but then you look at his body and you're like, it's so normal, but look at what he just did. But suddenly, both of my podcast hosts are saying, no, I've never said that. Yes, you have, bitches. Yes, you fucking have.
No, of course I've said that he has a normal body. It was something about the way you said that he can't get more muscular that seemed to suggest a deficiency.
You were like, I hope they've all gotten bigger except for Nick who can't, which is confusing.
He's just stunted.
Especially since you just said that stunted. Kenny got breast enhancements. Like, Nick can get breast enhancements if he wants them.
He can't.
It's surgical, Allie.
Well, Kenny didn't do it surgically. He did it in the gym with hard work.
Oh, well, that wasn't clear at all from what you said.
What is wrong with you people? You know that they're doing it in the gym with hard work.
Okay, well, I was picturing that, like, Gandalf, like,
ever had.
Heavy naturals.
They're so natural, but I want them to be really heavy. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They got to be juicy. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think they're going to be full of juice. They're worth the juice. Fine. Nick could get really big and juicy if he wanted. He's never going to.
Just doesn't want to. That's weird. That's the sweet spot.
What if I said to you, like, I name three people and I'm like, two of them, like, I hope they've gotten, like, really big, heavy naturals. But one of them won't have because he can't. And the third is Stuart Little. Like, yeah, it's not like, his fault Stuart that he Little. Can't get big.
Are you picturing Nick Jackson as, like, Marco Stunt? Like, what's happening?
Now I am.
You know, Nick and Matt are basically, like, the little clones, you know?
They're like, what?
Little clones of each other.
No. Matt does have a...
In terms of what they're capable, their bodies can do.
No, absolutely not.
You have, it's your brainworms talking right now, and I think everyone listening can hear that.
No, they can't. They know that you're in the wrong here, and finally Leah's coming around to my side, where I'm talking about their differently shaped bodies.
I think you and I need to agree on to get on the same page is simply that I'm Nick ready. Doesn't, it's not that Nick can't, it's that he doesn't want to.
Okay,
which I also agree with.
Well, let me stop. Can we reach a middle ground here and just say that Nick won't?
Yeah.
And we don't have to talk about whether he wants to. But
I think everyone listening is
going to
enjoy
not.
This 6-minute digression into Nick Jackson's
Look,
body
if you like
and
it,
what
go
he
away.
Wants or
then
can do.
You're not going to like the podcast and you need to leave. That's what I'll say. Okay? So just stay here if you want to talk about the heavy naturals, you want to compare the men's bodies. Yeah, we will talk about the storylines. Eventually, we will talk about some storylines. But not this week when the Elite are back and it's Halloween and we're all sitting here surrounded by candles.
It's true.
This
we
is
are
our
surrounded
fun
by candles.
Episode. Yeah. We're having fun for
Anyways,
ourselves.
Anyways, it's kind of like if you can make it through this episode, then like then you're strong and you're powerful.
If you like us at our worst, you'll love us at our best.
Yeah. And if you don't like us at our worst, you don't deserve us at our best.
So true, bestie.
So true, Marilyn Monroe.
Bestie. We got to move on. Okay, so we'll circle back. The thing that we actually got at the end of the episode instead of any beautiful, juicy bodies, heavy, natural, or otherwise running out, was we got some MJF stuff. So we're going to talk about everything that MJF did in the episode. So early in the episode, we had MJF cut a little like promo interview thing with Renee Paquette, in which he did a very funny impression of Jon Moxley. I thought this guy's got a future in impression.
Saturday Night Live, here he comes.
One would say a performer.
He could be a performer in time. And he promised to fight a relatively clean match against Mox at Full Gear, at which point Stokely Hathaway came out and was like, basically was being like, yes, but the firm will be beating up Jon Moxley before Full Gear. Am I right, bestie? And MJF said, you are wrong, bestie. And if you beat up Mox, I will fire you. And Stokely Hathaway, wearing a beautiful little cardigan.
Oh, my God. He looks so cozy.
He looked so cozy. He kind of looked like I was like, you didn't even dress for TV, and I love that for you.
Yeah.
But he looked mad. And so then later in the night, the main event was Mox fought Penta. I was doing quite a bit of work for my job during this, so I missed a lot of it. But the parts I saw were very fun. Did you guys enjoy yourselves?
Yeah, I always forget how much I like Penta, and then like every once in a while I'm like, oh shit, he's like a really fun wrestler.
I know. He's very theatrical too. Like I enjoy his little cat steps and
oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw a little picture of him with a hat on. I like that.
Yeah. This match to me, it didn't have much of an emotional component, but I like both these guys and it was a fun, fine, perfectly great match. So
I think Tony was mad. Everyone was trying to talk to him about the emotional component of the match, and he got mad at Eric Bischoff or something. Didn't follow it that closely and wasn't interested. So Mox did win. And then the firm came out to beat him up, which they weren't supposed to do. And we saw that Blackpool Combat Club had been chained into their locker room, an approach that Punk could have taken but didn't, night of brawl. And then MJF came out and was kind of dithering about like whether to help Mox or not. And then he did come down to help. And then he got beaten up by his employees, no longer the firm. And the man named Morrissey, the Dark Mirror of Jake Hager, put him through a table. Thoughts?
I love that we're so like we're drinking so much cranberry juice right now that we're in a place where we can say bad Jake Hager.
Yeah, the bad Jake Hager, not the one we like.
No, we love. I love Jake Hager now. It's not a joke. Now that Jake Hager,
purple hat. Yeah.
It's honestly amazing in wrestling sometimes. Like, someone does one thing and you're like, this changed everything about you.
Yeah,
but I will say, yet again, I think that now we're seeing the Jake Hager that Jericho always sees.
Yeah, he's finally being himself. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's so nice.
That's so nice.
Our producer just said that she thinks we've been talking for 35 minutes, but nobody knows.
And it's like, it's comedy because it could have been 5 minutes, could have been 10 minutes, but to Marjorie, it could not have been
5 minutes. Wait, we spent 5 minutes on the Juicy Naturals alone. That might have been 10. We're going to skip so much stuff in the schedule, you're not going to believe it.
Blow through it.
Okay, any thoughts on MJF?
He's doing a good job. Like, the impression was great. Like, interesting things are happening technically. It's just not quite grabbing me. I mean, it didn't help the psychic pit I was in at the end when the Elite were not coming back.
Well, why didn't you simply zoom out at the time?
It takes me some time and distance to zoom out. I have to really sit in a dark room looking at a candle and sort of meditating for like 2 to 3 hours. So
that's a good preview of the lunch and learn.
It's gonna be a long one, ladies.
And take the afternoon off from work. Yeah, I think I'm just kind of confused. And confused honestly implies that I'm thinking about it more than I am, and I don't have that much brain space to give it. I guess the big question is whether or not MJF is doing an actual babyface turn right now, and whether he is actually on the outs with the firm, or if this is a little work that they're doing. And I don't think that MJF should face turn. I think he should do something so bad that the crowd is forced to boo him. Because sometimes now when the crowd is cheering him, I'm like, you guys are on your worst behavior. And this
I really was like, what is this crowd doing? Are we in Long Island? Like, they were so, they were on his side so firmly. It was like, oh my. But I don't, the internet really seems to think that, like, he's going to face turn for how many weeks do we have until Full Gear?
Like three.
Yeah. So he's going to face turn for the 3 weeks. Then during the Full Gear match, he's going to do something that reveals he's been working with the firm the whole time, yeah, which
I mean, they might very well be right. I feel like a lot of people after last week were like, he's face turning. This was such like a face promo. And it's like, well, he talked about how spiteful he is about this thing that happened. Like, I don't know if that's really, I don't know. I just felt a little bit like, where are moral compasses? Like, just because someone bad tells you why, like, their own point of view doesn't mean that their actions aren't bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, but I think a lot of the heel to face, like the face to heel turns, you just have to do something bad. I think the heel to face turns never really satisfyingly like have people owning up to their mistakes.
They don't.
Except for Matt Hardy.
I know. We all know it. Yeah, I think that is true. I also think, you know, we don't want to get too deeply into the hot discourse of the month, but we do live in Taylor Swift anti-hero culture. So, that, like, in a way, I think that maybe sometimes crowds are like, yes, you can get away with just the part of the face turn where you're like, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me. But then, like Taylor, they never go to therapy about it. And yeah. I think people should have to go. I'm like, you need a 3-season arc to really get to the point where it's like, you are a face. That's not really how wrestling works. I think it should be. Not all the time. But I think sometimes it would be nice to have more storylines where you're like, they're in the in-between because they are like learning to be good. And actually, I think that probably is going to be something that's going on with MJF for a long time. I don't know.
Eddie Kingston knows that wrestling is therapy, and I think he needs to be spreading it around backstage a little more to some of these clowns. Not MJF particularly. He's doing better than a lot of them. But
are we going to talk about Eddie?
Do you want to?
I just have to briefly
just say
now.
Just say now.
The way that he was gritting his teeth and looking into the camera and saying, I'm fine. I've been fine the whole time. It's basically how me and Anne are every time you say, how are my girls this week?
I'm glad that that's what you said, because there was a moment there where I was like, what am I not gritting my teeth at that my girls are gritting their teeth at? And it's like, it's me. I'm the problem. But someone has to ask. It's just how a podcast works.
But like, when he did it, I was like, I just was like, relatable king. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful promo.
Yeah, that was great. I loved seeing Mox's wives have that little promo. I love it.
He likes Renee so much.
He likes Renee so much. I love that that Eddie is on some kind of depression journey that, again, my mental crystal ball is clouded by psychic damage now. So most of the storylines going on, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I have been thinking a lot about how, like, actually one of the things I didn't really understand about wrestling at the beginning, and now I understand, at least for AEW, better, is just like the concept of like, oh, we're in the Full Gear push, but there'll be new storylines after that. So we just got to get through Full Gear. Then hopefully some of the stuff that's not clicking will go away for a while and some new stuff will come in, I hope.
Apparently Sarah was saying that there was like a pretty convincing thread on Reddit today that like part of the problem is that like Tony has like 20 people that he trusts to be on TV right now while he's in like an emotionally damaged state. And so he's like, you guys are just going to watch a full hour of BCC versus JAS because I don't trust anybody.
And then MJF will talk for a while. I know, like, where has Ray Starks been? Where is Will Hobbs? Like, I haven't seen them in years, I think.
Who was the first man you said?
Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks. I heard something different. Ricky Starks was on Dark this week. And then he tweeted and said, I'm fine, y'all, lol. And then he deleted it. Ricky Starks is one of the top tweet and deleters of the whole company. And good for him. I don't fault him for it. That I find that so believable because that absolutely, like, this whole cycle has been, like, Tony is just, like, only, like, my specialist most trusted action figures get to be in this one, and the rest of you need to sit there and think about what you've done. And everyone's being like, what I've done? And he's like, what you were nearby when it happened done when that got done, and you all sit there and you be quiet. Oh, Christ. But the ROHers can come and go as they please, of course.
Oh, of course. He trusts them with his life, yeah.
Well, they're outdoor cats, so. Okay, any other thoughts on MJF?
No,
move on. We're skipping this. We're not talking about that. I would like to touch on some things that happened on commentary, at least one of them. Hello, man in the mask, you little creme brulee, you. I'd like to crack you open and let you melt all over me.
I think William Regal would love being on our podcast. Don't you
absolutely
think?
Like, he'd get right in.
Absolutely.
To the Heavy Naturals conversation, he would have had a lot to say.
He would have given us a run for our money. I think he would have.
I think we would have been like, William, you can't say that.
Yeah.
None
you
of
guys
us
don't realize,
that,
but we are restraining ourselves quite a bit on this podcast. And
sometimes I'm forcibly restrained, actually.
I've edited her things out before. So the things that go to print are things that are approved.
Yeah. And I think everyone should be a little troubled by that. But mostly I'm just troubled about the times I was edited. I thought I should have been allowed to speak freely. What I said was not wrong. I did also like this moment where Excalibur said, "Am I the only one here who loves my wife?"
His tone when he said it was so cute. It was so like, am I the only one?
In combination with last week with him being like, yeah, my wife's on edge. Like, Excalibur's like, can everyone stop? My marriage is fine and we are strong and powerful.
Just because all of your marriages are in trouble doesn't mean you have to hit on me every 5 minutes.
But they were like, yeah, we do. And when Taz just goes, yes. They're so having fun on commentary. It might be the only place anyone's having like real fun these days. Okay, you guys want to just briefly touch on Layla Gray fought Willow Nightingale on Rampage. Willow won. Willow is all elite. Nyla stole Jade's car and her belt.
Yeah.
This was fun.
I wish Jade had been able to take Rampage hostage for the whole time, but the amount of hostage she took was extremely enjoyable. Love that.
She also looked so hot in that little outfit with her legs crossed in the middle of the ring looking furious. Yeah. I'm sorry. She looked good.
And she got to intergender beat up some security guards, which I enjoyed. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little, they were a little
which
competing.
Is a face thing to do, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's historically, that's what faces have done at AEW, yeah. It's
can't
a mud
trust a billionaire.
It's muddled. It's muddled philosophically. Yeah, she did look very hot. I think people should be sitting cross-legged in the middle of the ring more often, like ready to share their grievances. So that was great work from her. Yeah. So excited for Willow to be all elite. She looked so happy.
Happy.
It was great. I'm glad they did it like on screen too.
That was such a feel good moment.
It was.
And you know we don't get many of those.
We need them.
And you know we don't get many of
those. The elite have been gone for so long, and it's going to be November.
They got snapped to Allie. They didn't. They done been snapped. I think that Willow does some of the best face acting of the faces. Like she just looks very natural, and you just feel so genuinely happy for her, and that's pleasant. Mm-hmm. I know that.
I don't know how she does it, because when she's wrestling, she seems fierce, and like you believe that her punches hurt. Like that you should believe that she's trying. She's not being like goofy about it. But at the same time, she still radiates such goodness. And then as soon as the match is over, she's just like, well, that was fun. Did we all have fun?
It's like a really spectacular personality for a face. It's amazing.
With the wrong person, it could really like be so annoying.
Be really smarmy.
But it just seems so genuine and fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. If you guys wonder why we're breezing through this, it's because we didn't care about so much of it and because we want to play games. And
we've been talking for 45 minutes.
I find that difficult to believe, but not impossible.
We've got to cut some of that. We've got to cut some of that.
No, we don't have to cut any of that. It's all good stuff. Leah and I are huge Varsity Athletes fans now. That's all I'll say about that. We love them. Well, I just think they're useful. I think they actually are a good, fun jobber team. And you can just watch them lose and feel great about it. You know? Yeah,
they are good grist for the mill.
Just seeing Joss Woods makes me angry. It's just
no. I love
that's
him
not
now.
Right. No, we love Joss
it is
Woods.
Right. I made a statement about my own feelings.
Wrong. No, it's you don't feel
no,
that way.
You're
you
not
don't.
Right about that.
You're right.
And you need to zoom back and
it's
dismiss
my psychic
your
damage.
Psychic damage.
Yeah, right. Let me go into my meditation space. One second.
But so the Acclaimed were fighting the Varsity Athletes. While they were doing that, Swerve and Our Glory and FTR were fighting each other over who gets to fight the Acclaimed. None of you. They're fighting the Varsity Athletes, our favorite tag team. So you have nothing to do with it. And this was fun because it didn't end the way that I thought it would. I would say that's the top fun thing about it.
I love it whenever they have like the champion sitting at the top of the ramp surveying. Yeah. And it's even funnier to have it be the acclaimed because like Max Caster looks like he should just be heckling.
Yeah. And they're in their little like folding chairs. It's so funny. And then the guns were heckling, which was delightful. Yeah.
I loved it.
Don't the acclaimed have a little bit of an energy of like they're princes and they became the kings like really unexpectedly and they don't quite. Like, they're not quite ready for it. And that, like, sometimes the vibe is like, you have to sit here and you've got to listen to the petitions of the people. And they're kind of like, I don't know.
Like, they're both like fifth sons. And there was like a crazy accident that took out the whole line. Yeah. And they're like, how could that have happened?
this doesn't seem right. do you guys have any things you especially liked about the match?
It was just so nice that FTR lost. I really thought they would win and then maybe win in full gear. And I was like going to be so ripshit if they took the belts off the acclaimed, but they did it. They lost. And it was at this moment we'd like seen like the acclaimed promo. And I thought maybe they were coming back at the end and then FTR lost. And I was like, is this going to be the greatest episode of Dynamite of all time? And then wasn't.
The elite promo.
Yeah. I don't know what I said, but that's what
I meant.
The acclaimed
promo. And I just got confused because I was like, did they do a promo? I'd love to remember
the
it.
Elite promo.
The elite promo.
My brain's working great. Don't worry about it.
We're all doing fine, of course.
It's just like a humiliating way for FTR to lose. And that's very funny.
That was so amazing about it. Yeah.
And then I thought, does it mean, I pray to God, I'm praying right now, does it mean that the belt collector gimmick could and they could be forced to shed some belts instead of constantly threatening me with getting more belts?
I hope so. I want them to go to other promotions and just wrestle there for a while.
Go away.
Lose some belts. Yeah.
This is like we're just spreading misinformation. We're on this podcast being like, they have real go away heat.
I think all the audience feels that way for sure. Yeah.
Everybody agrees. FTR have huge go away heat. I love the Gun Club, Mommy's Little Babies. I hope that, I don't know what I hope. I don't have any more thoughts about this. Any other thoughts?
I just hope the acclaimed keep the belts like through at least the February pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
I hope they do so many funny, nasty things.
Yeah. Longer if possible, but yeah.
Yeah. Longer, nasty things. okay. Little Mr. All Atlantic, Orange Cassidy. Fought Ten and Roosh on Rampage. And this was because he ran into them at the Daily's Place bar, which is like, that's like our, that's our home. The Daily's Place bar is where I'm singing that song in my head. If I could just go in, I swear I'd leave. Won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me. Mm. Miranda Lambert. That's us in Daily's Place. That's the house that built us.
That's where we learned to love AEW.
Yeah. And learn to love people hitting each other, which we've never liked before.
Never
but
did.
But suddenly
and now
we
like
it
so much.
So we much. Like it so much. Yeah, usually. But usually. Not when it's not consensual. And that's the theme of our Halloween episode.
We really thought public service announcement was kind of the Halloween vibe. Check all your candy for razor blades, kids, because that's real and that happens.
I thought you were just going to say check it for consent.
For consent. Don't eat that candy.
That's what the liberals are trying to put in there. So anyway, OC was just like, do you guys want my belt? I'll just be in your match. Because it was originally going to be 10 and Roosh. I thought this was a really fun match. Like, I thought it was like a blast.
Oh, I had so much fun.
A blast.
I thought it was great. Fantastic. All right. Roosh really does like... I think he's like 5 years away from being Miro. Like he's so close to having Miro energy.
Like Roosh either. I don't know what's happening to you guys.
I love Roosh. Need some fucking cranberry juice over there.
I agree that you're not drinking enough cranberry juice.
Imagine how infected how much psychic damage I have when I haven't. I don't have any private party or Josh Woods or Roosh.
Do you want to hop off the podcast and go sit in a dark room with your candle and just be alone with yourself?
Think about Roosh. Like just get really in on Roosh.
Yeah. Maybe you guys should be leading the lunch and learn.
Limlo, limlo. Maybe I will limlo, limlo tomorrow. I like Rouge. I think he's very fun. I think he looked so funny, silly in this match. But the top thing for me was that throughout the match, I kept being like, wow, Orange Cassidy and Ten have great wrestling chemistry. Like, they are doing these moves. They look flawless. 10 out of 10 from the American judge over here. They looked really good.
I think it's so funny that every week Excalibur tells me that Ten is about to lose his mask in a match. And then and then the match comes and they're like, actually, we've changed it. He's keeping the mask on.
Yeah, it's like a little 1001 Nights situation, yeah. But bad.
You start to wonder what's under there that Tony Khan doesn't want us to see.
Well, somebody did once tell us in our group chat, someone was like, Ten is a butterface.
Oh, I said that. He is a butterface.
You said it? Well, it was mean. Yeah. But no, but then I went and looked at it and I thought, yeah, that was really...
That's not how we talk about men.
But then I went and looked at him and I thought, he looks kind of normal to me. Like, I'm not like slime.
His body's like super hot though, and his face is regular.
Yeah. Well, you know, different people have different strengths. Am I right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
I thought this was fun. And then OC also showed up on Dynamite this week to butt into a little match feud going on between Luchasaurus and Rey Fénix. No idea why that was happening. Don't remember that at all.
Two things here. I find it absolute comedy that apparently Orange Cassidy's thing is going to be that he doesn't care enough to feud with anybody else. He's just going to keep walking into other people's feuds and being like, hey, you guys want to make this a title shot?
I think that's great. I think it's very fun. Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that the graphic for this match, they gave Orange Cassidy an American flag next to his face. And then Rey Fénix, they gave the Mexican flag. But there was nothing next to Luchasaurus. And I was like, he doesn't get a flag? And
he has no country. Sarah, it's Pangea. Is that what Sarah said too?
I had a whole joke.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please tell the joke. Marjorie, okay. cut my interruption.
I must hear the joke.
I can't tell it now. It's silly. It was just the joke. The joke was Pangea. He should have a Pangea flag.
You stole the joke.
I'm so sorry. It's a great joke because it flowed very naturally from the situation.
You.
So,
thank you.
This is the scariest Halloween thing of all.
Joke stealing.
Okay. I for some reason don't have any thoughts in my head anymore. I've just been saying Dinotopia to myself. So I like that you guys had Pangea and I over here was just like Dinotopia.
Well, Dinotopia does sound like it would maybe have more of a flag. So
it sounds like it should at least have some kind of comedy flag. Mm-hmm.
Orange Cassidy has been doing so much promotion lately. Like, I don't know what's going on, but he's gone on like every local radio show and all over the greater area.
I know. I'm really eating my words about that belt because now I'm like, I love the belt and he should always have the belt because it's making him wrestle not every week and doing promo every 10 seconds. Like he's in an aquarium.
Weather comedy. Yeah, the aquarium pictures were really funny, I thought.
I think it turns out that, and maybe we should have seen this coming, maybe. It actually is good for him to have a prop because he does bits with it. And then when he has a prop, he gets really excited to do different bits. So that's great.
Like today, did you see they went on like a Navy ship and in all the pictures, he's just like holding the belt?
No, I did not see that.
Super adorable. Yeah. Check it out.
Who was there? Just him?
No, it was like the Guns, Billy Gunn and his silly sons were there. And I think Nyla was there and like a bunch of people.
Where was Dustin?
Yeah, Dustin was nowhere to be seen.
Where was Dustin?
Traveling
Chuck
with his
Taylor.
Basketball team, probably.
Yeah, Dustin is a member of the Philadelphia 76ers now. So congratulations to him again on playing a sport he actually loves. And we'll never see him again, yes. I think he was maybe there after the show on Dynamite. I think they did a little funny bit or something. That's not interesting. Okay, we can't talk about BCC and Jazz are still doing their thing, and we can't talk about it.
It's going on too long.
They're gonna fight again.
Yep.
Again, we talked about the Eddie stuff. Okay, you want to get into games?
Let's do games.
Okay.
And I'll say before we went through the list of wrestlers that are going to be randomized, and I was like,
you're
we don't need
something
to
mean to us.
I am, yeah.
Well, I think that's rude, but okay.
I won't say it. For our Halloween. Listeners will just never know. For Halloween,
well, no, you
my
say,
gift
you tell,
to you.
You know what? You tell them.
But I just want them. Insisted on adding Josh Woods and Tony Nese and Roosh to the list.
They're our favorite
my will.
New wrestlers.
It's true.
It's not a crime. Is that a crime to love Tony Nese?
Once I'm elected.
I don't think, well, you're not going to be elected with an attitude like that. I doubt it very much.
People will love my platform. You'll see.
I don't think that they are going to, because he has big, juicy muscles. I do want to be clear, though. Like, I actually have no interest in any of those men's bodies. I mean, like, I celebrate their bodies for what they can do, and I hope that they, I hope they love their bodies too. But for me, it's not sexual. It's purely about how they entertain me in other ways.
They're no Nick Jackson.
They are certainly no Nick Jackson.
Mm. Their bodies could get bigger, so no.
Well, I think
there.
They've gotten bigger. It's Nick's smallness.
No, let's not go. I'm sorry, I brought it up.
Okay, so we came up with a Halloween game that we're gonna play. Mm-hmm. Longtime listeners know that we usually play. We call a dating game where our beloved producer Marjorie.
We
gives
should have
us
a cute name for the game. As you say that, dating game is a little generic.
Well, we haven't. I guess we haven't gotten later. In a meeting about it, but no. Maybe. One day soon, when we have the bandwidth, once we've seen the elite's big
once
juicy
bodies, once our psychic damage lifted a little bit, yeah.
Where our beloved producer Marjorie gives us two random AEW wrestlers, and we just describe like what we think their first date would be like, or a date that they'd gone would be like. So, but today we're actually going to play a special Halloween game.
We are all sitting in the dark with many candles lit right now.
We're sitting in the dark. We have our candles. So the game, it's like fuck, marry, kill. F, marry, kill. But this one is vampire, werewolf, ghost. So producer Marjorie is going to give us three random wrestlers. The first stage, we're going to see how this goes because we haven't played this. The first stage of the game is we have to decide who's the vampire, who's the werewolf, and who's the ghost. But then the second stage, Leah, how did you put it? How did you explain this?
Then we're going to decide if you're going to go on a date. And you said, like, all three of them? And I said, well, it depends on the trio. We can decide.
Oh, that's
whether they're going to split off or link up.
Or linked up, yes. It was. I was imagining the way you said, have they linked up yet? Yes. So we will, once we've decided on the configuration of the supernatural beings, then we will address the question of whether we think that there is a romantic chemistry to be explored between two to three of the wrestlers.
It's a good game. I think it's going to be fun.
I think it's going to go really well, and it's nice and clean and simple right off the bat. So
yeah, we explained it really clearly.
I did my best. Okay. Producer Marjorie, are you there? Are you with us? It's kind of like a séance. Are you with us?
I'm here.
She's here. We've summoned her.
A little shiver ran down my back. Are you prepared to give us the first group of three?
I sure am.
Ooh.
Your first group of three, Dante Martin.
That's a good start.
MJF. And Tony Storm.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, Tony Storm is a sad ghost.
Yeah, she's definitely ghost. A yeah. ghost. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and she's like specifically like Casper in the first half of Casper, where he's like watching Christina Ricci like do cool stuff and just like being like, sucks.
I haven't seen Casper in much too long. I gotta get
I
back in.
Don't know if I've
get
ever
back kind of into that.
Get back into that.
I mean,
get back into Casper.
It's a sexy movie. Yeah, I'll say it.
I don't think you should, but I guess it's your choice.
All right, MJF. I'm gonna go. Wait, who was the? Oh, Dante Martin.
Dante. I think MJF's a vampire.
Yeah, I'm gonna say MJF's vampire. Dante werewolf.
Mm-hmm. I think so, because Dante Martin has real like sad got bit by accident and yeah. is so upset
and
about
real
it.
Real tortured. Yeah. MJF's not tortured at all.
I think Dante Martin is tortured in a specific way. Like it's not self-loathing. It's like he's just like, oh, it's pretty inconvenient. And
I gotta lock myself up in the full
moon. I hope I never bite anybody. That would be like a real bummer. And MJF is like, you hope you never bite anybody. And MJF has like he could be a Buffy big bad. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, easily.
For sure. He's got that energy.
Real Buffy big bad energy.
He could. He's also like one of the big bads that could accidentally turn into like a recurring character though. Like,
yeah, where right. He's, like, once they defeat him, he comes back as in a comic absolutely. Capacity
when he's useful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. What are you guys thinking?
I don't think these. I mean, none of them. Tony and Dante could go out on a date, but I don't think that they're like, nobody's getting to second base.
No. Well, yeah. I think there'd be a lot of crying. I see a lot of crying.
They're kind of more of like a group therapy session.
Yeah.
Pair. I guess I didn't even think that this was the configuration of the TV show of which there was a UK and a US version being human. Correct.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I am accidentally imagining them all living in a house together, and I'm imagining it being a thing where Tony Storm like gets so sad, like because she and Dante are having a sweet heart to heart, that she cries, and it's like her tears somehow like do flood the house, like when she cries, you know, that's a Moaning Myrtle thing maybe, for sure. And that like MJF is just like, absolutely not. That is off limits. You are not allowed to date. This is over. Shut it down. You're gonna be sorry. So I think that's what I think.
I love it.
Okay. Let's have that was successful. Those three could be TV leads. Like that was a real like actual TV lead trio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Marjorie.
Yeah. Producer Marjorie, are you prepared to give us?
It's all randomness.
Marjorie's like, I didn't game the system.
But you could if you wanted to.
The game has integrity.
All right. If you say so.
Okay, your next trio is Britt Baker, Mark Henry, and Max Caster.
Oh, wow.
All right, Max Caster's the werewolf. I think we can all agree that Max Caster's the werewolf.
Yeah.
Because he's horny and he's humping.
Yeah, humping everything.
Classic werewolf behavior.
Mark Henry also kind of has more werewolf energy, but I think he's got to be the ghost if...
Because Britt's got to be the vampire.
Britt's got more vampire
energy than Mark Henry does.
For sure. Yeah. Mark Henry is a vampire. Just it's a funny little image.
Not to invoke like the worst children's book author we have living, but you know like the ghost in that is like the teacher that just like kept going to class and like didn't realize that he died.
Oh my gosh. Yes, yes, yes.
That is Mark Henry. He just keeps showing up to Rampage to be like, that's been enough talk. And you're like, Mark, you died like 10 years ago.
Floating, it's time for the main event. You are so right about that. That's exactly. And it's actually, I am kind of imagining it as a situation where Tony has tried to be like, Mark, now that you're dead, it's okay if you don't want to show up anymore. And he just like doesn't even seem to hear it. He's like, well, time for taping. I'm getting out. Down there. I love that. I'm obsessed with that.
Wow. These three are, that's pretty perfect. Because Max Caster, the horny werewolf, is so good. And then Britt, extreme vampire energy.
Britt straight up, like, cartoon style, smacking him on the nose with a newspaper. Like, that's the vibe.
When they're living in their house together.
Yeah. I also would love to, like, watch, like, a reality show where Britt and Max Caster each have their own mission. And they're like, they've been told like they have to date each other to get the mission, but the mission is like opposing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
Not really.
Like, like one of those Netflix reality shows where everybody like goes down to an island or something and half the island has been told that like you can't have sex and the other half of the island is saying, but like not that specifically,
fuck
but like,
island.
Yeah.
You know is that a real show?
Yeah, it is.
That sounds like what like Job that, on Arrested Development like would pitch. Or when Jack Donaghy was tanking the network.
MILF Island, okay, yeah, I can see that for sure. That got me there. once I understood about Fuck Island, I'm in the mix.
Yes. So they both got ulterior motives. Also, they're a vampire and a ghost.
They would be funny in the like, are you the one reality show situation where it's like they're not into each other, but they think strategically that they're perfect matches, so they have to like pretend to be perfect matches.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony, get some reality TV shows up and running. We're dying for fun content.
If he just like picked three wrestlers at random and made them be roommates like for a week for a reality show, and like every week it was a different three, we're like that would be the best reality show of all time. Yeah.
Out of it. I don't really see though there being romantic chemistry possibilities. No.
Between, I mean, Britt's not going to put up with that.
But between Mark Henry and Max Caster, though, I think we can all agree.
That's a little something, yeah. Mm. Potentially. Hey, potentially. We must move on from that, I think. We must have number three.
Your next trio is William Regal.
Yes.
Brandon Cutler. And Hikaru Shida.
Oh, wow.
I'm so sorry to Shida.
Yeah.
Oh, for, yeah, I thought you were going to say something else, but no, I'm sorry for what's happened here. Yeah. Wow.
I think that Regal has to be the vampire.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's definitely got big vampire energy.
Because that's why he's saying those freak things. That's what vampires do. Like, and then, like, his vibe is just like, it was very normal to say these things in the 1800s.
Yeah. So. In the 19th century, these compliments were pretty regular.
Everybody loved this.
Who is the second one? Regal?
Brandon Cutler.
Brandon and Shida. I think Brandon's probably the ghost, like, in a really hapless way. Like, he died in a really funny way, unfortunately. Absolutely.
And he looks like it. Like, yeah, it's like he's covered in goo stuck. In the afterlife or something. Right, you know?
Exactly. Like, he fell into a tar pit or something, yeah.
In and Dinotopia. Like, in Dinotopia, yeah.
I think he also, like, is kind of sensitive about it. Like, if the Young Bucks are like,
well, Brandon's, on.
Yeah, and, like, the Young Bucks are like, well, Brandon's dead. It doesn't matter. And Brandon's like, hey.
I'm a person. Ghosts are people. Yeah, I think that's right. And then I actually think it's great for Shida to be a werewolf. Yeah, I love that.
Werewolf, yeah.
Oh, no, I was just apologizing that she was now stuck in the house with
Brandon. I'm sorry for that. Yeah. It's not she's fun for her.
I would watch the hell out of those three in a house together in a ghost, vampire, werewolf situation for sure. I like how we stopped the dating game and we're just in this like roommate game, but it is fun.
So now they're roommates.
Yeah.
Well, I have yet to hear two names in close conjunction with each other where I thought like, yeah, they could kiss.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess like maybe like William Regal and Brandon Cutler. Like if William Regal was like really horny.
I think William Regal would make it work. Which he usually is. Sure. If these were his options.
I wish Marty DeRosa was here because then he would just be like, well, here's
the emotional truth. Yeah.
If he would. William Regal and Brandon Cutler were on a date, here's what would happen. And we like at the end of it, we'd be like, how could anybody not believe in their love?
Yeah, no. You're right. We need someone who has a clearer sense of what the emotional kernel is at the core here. And it's not me in this case. But in this case, it's not me. And I guess also fundamentally, I'm like, well, surely Regal, I don't know what Excalibur is in this universe, but whatever he is, like,
that's the problem,
Regal's out there wooing him.
Yeah, Regal's pretty hung up on Excalibur, like, so it's hard to think him of him with someone else. Something. Yeah.
What if it was a What We Do in the Shadows situation where Excalibur is Guillermo?
Like Sean from Guillermo.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that it. You made him Sean.
Well, what? Laszlo's obsessed with Sean.
Regal is not Laszlo. Rigo is Nando.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, Rigo is Nando. We all know
it. I think it is a good pod.
I'm sorry.
I think we just print it.
Oh, yeah. Send it. We don't need to listen to it back. Just upload it.
Send it to
print. Okay, Dave Meltzer, can we just fax this to press? Can we do one more, please?
Yeah. We need this.
Yeah. One more, please.
This is bringing us more joy than we've had in all of the fall.
We loved watching you get shut. What'd they do? What'd they do in the clip?
Disappeared?
Yeah, but what's the worst? Snapped. We love watching you get snapped. Ooh, buddy. Okay, give us the final one, please. Okay.
Your final trio, Sting.
Yes.
Wheeler Yuta. Mm-hmm. And the Butcher.
Wow. Okay, guys, I think we have our first sexual trio.
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Those are men that are doing a lot of kissing.
All three of them, I think. All,
yeah. I know you're joking, but...
No, I'm not. I'm kind of not.
Oh, great. We're all here. Okay, we're together. Oh, my God. This is when this the witches say, friends, when ladies. Shall we three meet again?
Yeah.
Right now. And this is the moment. And the candles are really burning. You can see the fire in our eyes. Who are you? So are you thinking all three, or do you have two of them in mind?
For kissing? No, they all kiss.
Oh, okay.
Well, and I'm also going to break. I'm going to break the shit out of the game because it's the last one.
Break it.
They're all werewolves. They're all werewolves. This is a pack of werewolves, and they're kissing.
Okay, kissing werewolf. Okay, they're a kissing pack. I'm going to need to process. I'm going to need to withdraw to my dark room and process. So we're psychic
Sting, Wheeler, and.
The butcher.
Right.
The butcher. Well, the butcher is absolutely a werewolf. That's right.
For sure.
I could see little Yuta being a vampire, but I would permit the breaking of the game.
Yeah, I will too. If I had to choose, I'd probably put Sting as the vampire and Wheeler as the ghost. But
I think I wouldn't, because I think Sting would love, like, I'm so sorry to say it, getting naked and running out under the full moon. Like, and that, like, I just can picture it, not any of his parts or anything, but I can picture, like, the morning after when he's been running joyfully all night and he really has control. He's not worried about biting people. He has really good control. And then he wakes up naked in the forest and it's just like, oof, what a morning. And he's stretching and walking around.
And it's like this whole sitcom thing where he's like marching down like his suburb street and he's like, morning, Phil.
Exactly. I think he'd just really be in his element and he'd be jumping off of stuff. And,
yeah.
And Darby's there maybe somehow. I don't
Darby's
know.
Darby's a vampire.
Darby's a vampire. Darby's his little vampire friend. Yeah. And Darby was living under a bridge and being like, I don't deserve to live in society. And Sting was just like, I think you need to come home with me. This isn't appropriate. You can't be living under bridges like this. Just lead a normal life, okay?
And I think like the other werewolf packs are like, you can't have a pet vampire. And Sting's like, he's just our friend.
He's just our friend. He's a person, not a pet. Yeah. Sting sticks up for him. Yeah.
Do you think anybody made it to the end of this episode?
I don't know. It was a wild one. I hope so.
I think we had fun. I think we felt joy a little bit.
I think we healed a little bit of our psychic damage. Yeah.
Yeah. And not alone, but together. Mm. And is there not a lesson there?
Mm. Yeah.
And this is kind of like Christmas Eve, because you know what happens now? We get off the call. We go to sleep, and in the morning, there's a little report from Mr. Meltzer for us, and we don't know what it'll say. It could say anything, but we'll have that little report, and then little stocking treats from Sean Ross Sapp throughout the day.
And those treats, they could be coal, or they could be presents. We don't know.
Yeah, you never know, but don't you believe it to be true, because scientifically it is. That coal makes diamonds.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Now they agree. Yeah. It's been true this whole time. Scientifically, it has been true this whole time. Mm-hmm. Anything else anybody wants to say?
I think we've recreational said a lot talking. Of stuff.
We've said some things, yeah.
And the tone that you've said, would you say that you think we said too much?
Possibly.
Maybe too much.
I hope that when producer Marjorie reviews the tape, she thinks no
protects our dignity.
Yeah, the world doesn't need to hear that.
I'm nude in the forest. I have no dignity.
You're striding Sting. Back through the suburbs. You're
like, hello. Okay, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This has been Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back for maybe some different content than this next week, when we'll be healed because we had our lunch and learn next week.